Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
To the Kingdom Crossroads podcast today, where I'll be concluding this great two-part interview with Matthew Diebler. Now, Matthew's the author of a really great book, The Devil and the Children of God at the End of the World. He's also the founder of Lamp on the Stand Motivational Ministry and is doing a great work for the Kingdom of God. And if you missed any of the prior episode with Matthew, you need to go back and catch up. I'm going to rewind just a couple of minutes in order to provide some continuity, but Matthew provided us with so much interesting value in part one, you just need to go and listen to episode number one in order to catch up and get the full impact. Amen? All right, let's jump back into the interview now as I conclude this great interview with Matthew Diebler. Amen. Now, your book says that you encountered the devil twice in your life.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Well, so in 2011, I had my rebirth experience, and I started out on this different path, and I began sharing my story very bold and in a very bold and transparent fashion. And it was my mental health journey. I felt great freedom in it because I felt as though God had forgiven me for the sins of my past. He was making me new. I was a new creation in Him, and I really didn't fear the judgment of anyone. I just knew I had to get the story out because that's what He was calling me to do. And then as I did that, I felt the purpose in it because there were many people who were coming into my life, and really the story was impacting them in such a powerful way because they had experienced something or a family member had. And so it touched me to know that there was more value in this story than just me. You know, there were other people who were going to benefit from it. And so I started down this path of transformation, and I wasn't really sure. And here I'm kind of drifting a little bit. Can you repeat the question one more time so that I can answer it properly? Because I'm probably going in a direction that'll get kind of long. So I want to make sure that I focus here on what your specific question was.
You said that you encountered, you had two.
Yeah. Oh,
the
devil. Yeah. Okay. So we start heading down this path of transformation, and things are going in a really positive direction. And after about a year and a half of blogging, I decided that it was time to maybe take this content that I had accumulated and create a book from it. It just felt natural. And so I did a manuscript proposal, and I aligned with a publisher, and that was all ready to go. And then I started to kind of embrace the freedom that I was feeling in my rebirth, just that I was able to do things that I hadn't previously. I had stepped out of that agoraphobic space, and so I was enjoying life. I was traveling. I was wanting to, you know, create kind of the creature comforts in my life again. And in that temptation, that's when I was led to the devil. And it was really because I was seeking an opportunity to, you know, perhaps make some money, gain some influence, things of that nature. I can't go into the specific details. Mm-hmm. But what happened was after this encounter, and you can read about this in the book as well, but after that encounter, the first conversation about 2 weeks later, I decided that I was going to abandon the book project altogether because I just felt overwhelmed. I didn't think I had time for it. I made every excuse in the world as to why I was going that direction. But the truth was, is that I was led into temptation, and, you know, I was choosing that temptation over God. And so His will, you know, kind of got put on the back burner, and I stepped forward in my will, thinking that I could do everything in my own strength. And yeah, there would come a time when I would get back to that call from God to write the book, but it wasn't for me now, not in that season. And so that's when that occurred. And I went through a pretty dark season there, and I suffered some tough consequences, and I knew the shame of my actions because I felt the Holy Spirit warn me too, but I still decided to, you know, go forward in my own strength and decide that I knew best. It wasn't, God didn't, you know, his will didn't matter. I I was the one that was going to choose the direction of my life, and it led to some tough consequences. So after that, I went through a period where I really kind of was in the wilderness. I felt distant from God. I felt unworthy. I felt inadequate. I felt like I had broken the closeness that we had had for you know, a really wonderful period of my life. And now it was lost in what I ever hear from him again. Some things started occurring then several years later that led me to understand that he was still there. He had been there that whole time, and he was calling me into a greater purpose. I just truly needed to mature in my faith. And in 2020, I encountered the devil a second time, right as I was about to step into my calling and get ready to really embody the purpose that God had placed in my life many years earlier.
And what? How did they tempt you in that second encounter?
Yeah. So the second encounter, and I have to be sort of careful about the level of detail that I share, but it occurred at a point in time when, so it was 2020, I'm coming into this season where I'm feeling moved by the Holy Spirit to start sharing my story again more boldly. I'm doing a lot of mental health content. I'm not ignoring the victor in my story. That was Jesus Christ. And so everything that I'm doing from a mental health perspective is weaved into my spiritual revival as well. Start going deeper with God, deeper into my faith. And then I get to this point where I feel like I'm at a wall because I've always wanted to live this calling full time, but I'm not sure in my natural mind how I do that. You know, how do I make kind of a career out of this? I would always get to that point and I'd kind of pause and then I'd turn around, I'd retreat. And what happened was I sought some spiritual guidance and I went to a place that I shouldn't have. And that's where the devil was waiting because I was trying to really clear this hurdle and I thought I needed help in order to get over it. And I turned to a place that I shouldn't have for that guidance. And it led me into this web of deception that was, I thought that I was actually in the beginning really advancing my faith, but it was all deception. It was lies, and it got really messy for a period of like 40 days and 40 nights, which is interesting because that's what Christ went through as well.
Amen. So. Amen. And you share that sometimes God speaks to you, talks to you. And you mentioned it a few times in your book. How do you differentiate the voice of God from, say, your own conscience speaking to you?
That's a great question. But when God speaks, I feel like it's incredibly clear. It doesn't really require a ton of, it's almost like in a divine intervention a lot of times. And when the Holy Spirit is present, I can feel it. I can feel the sensations all over my body. I get chills. I get goosebumps. I call them the truth bumps. And know you know, they kind of run from my head all the way down to my feet. I do pray in the Holy Spirit, and I've had a lot of things come to me through that type of prayer. I've experienced dreams. I've had visions. And one of the things I'll say about the dreams, you know, I dream most nights. I rarely remember anything from those dreams, maybe a little, you know, bit or piece of it. But when God places that dream there for a specific, you know, purpose, and there's like his intention behind it, I can recall every single detail. So usually, you know, when that happens and I wake up and I realize that I've just come from that space, I try and document everything immediately because there's usually some kind of prophetic meaning behind it. And that's been extremely powerful, particularly in the space that I'm in now where it's required a lot of faith. It's required me to step forward without fear or hesitation. And I've needed that wisdom that can only come from God, that assurance that can only come from him in this space, because I don't think anybody else could give it to me.
Right. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I know one story you share about in your book is centered around the word water.
Mm-hmm.
And can you share that story with us?
Yeah. Yeah. So it was actually on my honeymoon. I went there and I had a book in hand. It was a Mark Batterson book. And so I was, really trying to be intentional because we were finally, work had been crazy. And this was going to be a nice break, not only for my wife and I just to enjoy each other, but I was really seeking spiritual clarity too, because we're in this beautiful place, just sitting on the beach. We've got nothing to do. And it just felt like a wonderful place to pray and, kind of seek meaning. And so I was doing that. And I had this word come to me, and it was water. And I didn't know what it meant. And I kind of, by my natural mind, I wanted to attribute it to, I had suffered quite a bit from dehydration in the years following that experience with panic and anxiety. My body became very sensitive. And so I learned that I needed to avoid caffeine. I needed to avoid alcohol. I felt like it was God's way of sort of molding me into the person that he wanted me to become. So, eliminating any of those types of contaminants from my system. So I kind of thought at first, like, that's the message that he was sharing, is sort of like stay on this path, but that was far too simple. And I continued for many years, like not fully thinking that that was the answer, but like, when will he actually reveal to me what that word meant, water? And it only came, it was like 4 years later that I actually understood it. And that was the living water. That was the water that he was asking me to consume, not the water that I had perceived in my natural mind. That wasn't where the true fulfillment came from. The fulfillment came from the living water and the Holy Spirit and being in that space and living that life boldly.
Amen. Amen. Another theme that I found runs throughout your book is about the term bad fruit. Mm-hmm. What does that phrase mean for you, and why do you emphasize it in your book?
Yeah, so that was the bad fruit is my way of kind of deciphering the influence of the evil one. And so when I was going through that period of great deception, those 40 days and nights in 2020, when I was really lost and confused, even though I was seeking to embolden my faith, but I was confronting this dark enemy that was really kind of masquerading as the light. We read that in the word about even Satan masquerades as an angel of light. Mm-hmm. Well, that's truly how it looked. It wasn't as obvious as most people would think. The devil doesn't show up at your door with a pitchfork in hand and make his presence known. He's actually much more clever than that. He's good at disguising himself. And so the one thing that kept and this was the Holy Spirit. It just kept nudging me, knocking on my brain was, you will know them by their fruit. And I could not dismiss that. It was just like a clock ticking in my head throughout that period of time. You will know them by their fruit. And I knew that I was supposed to do something with it. Like what, how, and I started really kind of taking inventory of every experience, every conversation, everything that the deceit embodied. And I kind of was making just mental notes in my brain and cross-checking things against the word. And that's ultimately what allowed me to expose this evil. And it was hard. It took some time, but the Holy Spirit was persistent. And he told me the bad fruit essentially is going to, be the devil's downfall.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And there's another chapter that caught my attention called, you titled it Called Out of the Wilderness, and you share about a dream or vision you had.
Yeah.
Could you share that with our listeners?
Yeah. So I titled the chapter Called Out of the Wilderness because when I went into this period of deception, I was doing my best really to revive my faith in a powerful way too. So I had started changing the routine of my day. I was waking up, at 5:30 in the morning, going out and running, and I would go out into the wilderness to run and, just seek alone time with God. And in that space, I would offer a lot of prayer and praise and just spend time reflecting. And I had so many powerful breakthroughs, but there was also a lot of deception that occurred there too. And so when I was able to finally navigate that deception and understand the enemy that I was up against, I had this experience after that reveal where I went out to run one morning and I felt as though God was moving me to take a different path. You're not going to run on the trails in the woods today. You're going to actually go and you're going to run through the village square. Like you're going to take this message somewhere else. It's not meant to be hidden. You're going to put this lamp on its stand. And so that's when I the very morning that I had that message, it followed a night when I had a very prophetic dream. But when I woke up, I didn't actually remember the dream. It wasn't front of mind. So I left the trail, I went into the village square, and I started running. And that's when I felt the Holy Spirit, that, you know, amazing chills running from my head to my toes just come over me. I was like on my second lap sort of around the village square. And I realized that I had just had a powerful dream the night before, and it was time to unpack it. And so that's what I did. And I realized that God was calling me into, you know, essentially spiritual warfare, and that he had a vision for my future moving forward. And I was going to serve a great purpose for his kingdom. So after I returned home that morning, I opened up a Word document and I started typing. And that's where the devil and the children of God at the end of the world comes from. It all started there when I was called out of the wilderness.
Is that where also you got the title for your ministry, the Lamp on the Stand Ministries?
The Lamp on the Stand Motivational Ministry. Yeah. So, I mean, it's really, for me, it's, and I was long as an advocate in the mental health space, and that I believe a lot of what keeps people, you know, suffering is the stigma or the fact that a mental health conversation is taboo. And so I've long believed that, you know, putting the story out there, it's such a release. It provides so much freedom, and it also provides clarity and healing and forgiveness and all kinds of power things that the shame and guilt just not, you know, compete with. Mm-hmm. But then when I looked at it from, you know, a standpoint, I realized this is the time, you know, to glorify him. I want to put my story on the stand. I want to make it visible to the world. I want to give people access to this testimony because it's such a powerful victory for his kingdom. And I want everybody to understand that they've got that within them. You know, no matter what they're dealing with, God's love is so patient and enduring. And, you know, we can all have access to that victory. All we need to do is claim it. And so let's put that message on its stand. Let's encourage other believers, other redeemed souls to do that as well. And let's, you know, change the direction of eternity for some people who are lost.
Amen. Amen. And then there's the outlet. What is that ministry about? And how do you help those struggling with mental illness issues?
Yeah. So the outlet actually came about in early 2020 when I was doing that mental health content and really felt inspired to do it as a result of the pandemic as well, because I knew people were going into social isolation and that it was going to be a tough period. If you were struggling with anxiety or depression or addiction before the pandemic set in and we were going into lockdown, it was going to intensify. And so I felt moved to start doing more content, and I did like a 14-day series on panic and anxiety, just giving people tips and encouragement. And then I developed a following from that, and I thought, praise the Lord, there's got to be something more to this. You know, like, it's great to do the content, but I really want to create a community for these people, because I'm talking about, you know, being open and transparent with your story. But for a lot of people, they don't necessarily have a safe space where they feel that they can share it. So, Okay, I'll create the space. The outlet is an opportunity for people to come and, you know, just in natural dialogue, share openly about what they're dealing with that day, that week, what's worrying them about the future. You know, we just come together and we share in positivity and gratitude. It's not specifically designed as a faith community, but there have been a lot of faith-led conversations in that community as well, which is really inspiring. But it's kind of a place that I would say you come to recharge, you know, recharge the battery, get around that good energy, get around people that are committed to seeing you succeed, that will rally around you in times of difficulty. And that's what we've done. So we meet every Thursday and every Sunday on Zoom. And then we have an active community chat as well that people can contribute to.
Amen. So we got your Lamp on the Stand Motivational Ministries. We got the outlet. We've talked about your book, but how does your book relate to your work with those two outreaches?
Yeah. So the book, I believe, you know, the Lamp on the Stand really came after the book idea manifested, right? And I believe that the Lamp on the Stand is kind of the home for everything that I plan to do in the future. So I would love to continue to write. I'm sort of at this point just going where God leads. I haven't figured out exactly what lies in the future ahead of me. I want to do public speaking, and I'd like to do some coaching. I'm going to start doing some mentoring and maybe some consulting for businesses, but like to write more books. And so the Lamp on the Stand is a place that I can house all of the content and the efforts behind the advancement of that purpose. And it's also a place where I'll be able to share my podcast, which will be launching soon. It's called the Delivering Dunamis Podcast. And I just want a place where people can turn to and really see, that lamp on its stand. That's really my mission, is to be a light in a period of history where things are getting pretty dark, we need people to step up and be the light.
Amen. Amen. Just one piece of advice as you go down that path, and I'll share this with the listeners as well. When we started, before we started this recording, I'll give you a brief background of our ministry, how we started. If God would have showed me then what he's having me do today, like, no way. But as you execute that first step and you perfect that, then he'll show you, okay, now take this and do this.
Yes.
Like, ooh, man, I don't know how I'm going to do that. Like I said, when I started, I had to have help checking email. Who would have known I've been running a radio network and all this other stuff.
Praise the Lord.
It's just one step at a time. And as you do that, then suddenly another door will open. And you're like,
yes.
Okay, well, I see how this would fit. And then you go through that door. So just take it slow. Don't try and take on too much at once. Because if I just started, okay, well, let's see, we need a radio station, need a podcast, I need websites, I need this. Oh, forget this. So it's one thing. Like I said, when we started, flip cell phone on a free website. That's how we started.
And it's just remarkable. So yeah, think about God's power and all of that. Yeah. It's just amazing.
So just take it one step at a time, and you'll know when it's time to do the next step.
Sure. Like, absolutely.
As you've been doing, instead of running through the woods, we're going to run through town, and then that lamp on the stand. Got birth. Now, if you'd have said, "Nope, I got my trail I'm running on," it may have been six more months before you could have got you back to that spot again.
Oh, exactly, or maybe 6 years. Depending upon how far I drifted, right? In that, if I stay in the wilderness, then that's where the temptation lies. So
yeah, exactly. And sometimes I'll think about decisions I made, like in the military, getting out of the military. Like, man, if I'd have stayed in, the war started, 2 years later, and I'd have been promoted, and we could have, and I said, but the decisions I made back then is what put me in position where I am today.
Amen.
I don't know what would have happened if I'd have gone the other direction,
Totally agree.
That's just how I, not that our decisions don't matter in God's plan. It's his plan only that matters.
Exactly.
When we make a decision contrary to that, it may take him 6 years to get us back where we need to be. But think about all the work that could have been done. Those 6 years.
Exactly.
Anyway, Matthew, this is all so fascinating. First, I want to congratulate you on beating the devil through the power of Christ. Amen. Mm. Praise God for that.
Amen.
And praise I also him. Want to thank you for the work you're doing to help others struggling with mental health issues. I mean, that's very needful in this day and time in which we live today. Praise God.
Amen.
And your book, The Devil and the Children of God at the End of the World, how can someone order a copy of that? Is it on Amazon?
It is on Amazon. It actually just launched on March the 2nd. And so you've got Kindle, you've got the paperback and the hardcover available on Amazon.
Amen. And if someone wanted to get in touch with you to ask a question or get more information on your outreach ministries or maybe do an interview like this, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
Absolutely. You know, you could visit my website, lamponthestand.com, and there is a contact page where there's an email that you can reach me. You can also reach me. I'm pretty visible on social media. There's a Lamp on the Stand Facebook page that has a pretty significant following. If you're looking to, you know, kind of unite with other believers, that's a great place to find me and to find others. And then beyond that, LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn, so okay. You can always find me there.
Amen. Amen. Folks, we've all been there. I mean, our battles may not have been the same as Matthew's, but our battles were real just the same. And Matthew has been able to put his battles down in book form in order to give encouragement to you, praise the Lord, to you and those that you love, to you and to someone who you know is struggling with these issues as well. This book will be a blessing to you and to someone you know. I want to encourage you right now, go down into the show notes down below, order your copy of Matthew Diebler's book, The Devil and the Children of God at the End of the World. Do it right now while you're thinking about it, because, well, we've been talking about it. You know how the devil works. You know, if you tell yourself that you'll do it later, he's going to try his best to distract you and make you forget. So don't let him win. Go down in the show notes right now and order your book. Click the links right now. Order your copy today. In fact, order two or three copies. Order one for yourself and pass out a couple to friends. I know that you know someone who needs this book. So order your copies today. Matthew, I want to thank you for coming on the program today and just sharing about your struggle and this great book that you've now published. I do appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Matthew Diebler and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.